In 3 minutes, said Joe, without taking his eyes from the display, we'll know if it's made of antimatter. Norton grinned as he recalled some of the more hair-raising theories about Rama's origin. If that unlikely speculation was true, in a few seconds there would be the biggest bang since the solar system was formed. The total annihilation of 10,000 tons would, briefly, provide the planets with a second sun. Yet the mission profile had allowed even for this remote contingency. Endeavour had squirted Rama with one of her jets from a safe 1,000 kilometers away. Nothing whatsoever had happened when the expanding cloud of vapor arrived on target, and a matter-antimatter reaction involving even a few milligrams would have produced an awesome firework display. Norton, like all space commanders, was a cautious man. He had looked long and hard at the northern face of Rama, choosing the point of touchdown. After much thought, he had decided to avoid the obvious spot, the exact center, on the axis itself. A clearly marked circular disk, 100 meters in diameter, was centered on the pole, and Norton had a strong suspicion that this must be the outer seal of an enormous airlock. The creatures who had built this hollow world must have had some way of taking their ships inside. This was the logical place for the main entrance, and Norton thought it might be unwise to block the front door with his own vessel. But this decision generated other problems. If Endeavour touched down even a few meters from the axis, Rama's rapid spin would start her sliding away from the pole. At first, the centrifugal force would be very weak, but it would be continuous and inexorable. Commander Norton did not relish the thought of his ship slithering across the polar plain, gaining speed minute by minute until it was slung off into space at 1,000 kilometers an hour when it reached the edge of the disk. It was possible that Rama's minute gravitational field, about 1/1000th of Earth's, might prevent this from happening. It would hold Endeavour against the plane with a force of several tons, and if the surface was sufficiently rough, the ship might stay near the pole. But Commander Norton had no intention of balancing an unknown frictional force against a quite certain centrifugal one. Fortunately, Rama's designers had provided an answer. Equally spaced around the polar axis were three low, pillbox-shaped structures, about 10 meters in diameter. If Endeavour touched down between any two of these, the centrifugal drift would fetch her up against them, and she would be held firmly in place, like a ship glued against a quayside by the incoming waves. "Contact in 15 seconds," said Joe. As he tensed himself above the duplicate controls, which he hoped he would not have to touch, Commander Norton became acutely aware of all that had come to focus on this instant of time. This, surely, was the most momentous landing since the first touchdown on the moon, a century and a half ago. The gray pillboxes drifted slowly upwards outside the control port. There was the last hiss of a reaction jet and a barely perceptible jar. In the weeks that had passed, Commander Norton had often wondered what he would say at this moment. But now that it was upon him, history chose his words, and he spoke almost automatically, barely aware of the echo from the past.